Hello everyone, my name is Robin Smith and I am so excited because this is my first podcast episode. I am a certified life coach, an author, and an international speaker. And today I want to tell you a little more about myself and about 9-Point Coaching. But first, I'd like to give a shout out to my sponsor for today, Anchor. We'll be right back after this. And we're back. Doesn't Anchor sound like a great thing? Makes you want to run right out and start your own podcast, doesn't it? Anyway, so here's me. I am married to my husband, Tom. We've been married for about 10 and a half years, and this is the second marriage for both of us. Between us, we have 5 children. He had 3, I had 2. Very sadly, his second child passed away in 2016. So his oldest child is 41, I think, and my youngest child is 33. So that's the age ranges. Between us, we have 6 grandchildren, only one of which is my biological, and he is Spencer. He is 6 months old, and the oldest grandchild is 21, and her name is Joellen. She is the oldest child of Tom's daughter who passed away in 2016. So Joellen is living with us, and she is such a wonderful young lady. She's 21 years old. She's going to college and working. She's really smart and beautiful. And sorry, guys, she's taken. But so between us, we have 6 grandkids, 21 all the way down to 6 months. And we all live in southeastern Pennsylvania. Okay, so that's the personal side of my life. Now I'm going to talk about the coaching side. How did I get into coaching and what is it? So my last 12 years as an employee, I spent working in pharmaceutical industry. I spent the last 9 years working for Wyeth, and then Pfizer bought Wyeth. And everybody knows what happens when Pfizer buys a company. They buy it for the pipeline, not for the people. So once the purchase was completed, they brought all of us people in R&D into this big room and gave us a meeting. And they told us we were probably going to be losing our jobs. Everybody around me was all nervous and upset, and some of them were probably even crying. I was excited. When the meeting was over, I went to my boss and I said, Cindy, if you have anything to say about who gets let go first, pick me. I'm done. I wasn't worried about myself because I had this side gig going. I was working with a multi-level marketing company, and because of regulations, I'm not allowed to say the name of the company. It was financial services. And I've got nothing bad to say about the company. I really believe that they have the best interest of the client and the best interest of the reps at the center of everything that they do. And I don't have much bad to say about multi-level marketing organizations. The only thing that I don't like about multi-level marketing, and it's not the marketing itself, it's that they show you all these people who are making millions of dollars and they tell you, you can do that. This is possible for you. And it is. Not likely though. The people who make millions of dollars are few and far between. Most people in multi-level marketing make little to no money. I will say, however, multi-level marketing companies are great self-improvement programs. And that was my biggest takeaway from the company that I was with. I never heard of self-improvement before. And it really gave me some insight into how to better myself. And I began getting quote of the emails with motivational quotes of the day. And in one of those emails was a video of a woman talking about why you would be a good life coach. And it really resonated with me. I was like, wow, this looks really cool. And there were a total of 4 videos. There was one each day. And I talked to my husband about it and I prayed about it and I said, you know what? I feel like this is what I'm here for. So I took the plunge, I paid the money, and it was a year-long program to get certified. Within the first 2 months of coaching, just even the training, I had more clients than I did in 7 years with the multi-level marketing company. I said, okay, this feels really right. When I finished my training, I created my business. My business is called 9-Point Coaching. It's called 9-Point Coaching because there are 9 points that I take my clients through to help them to get their mindset right so that they can get what they want. So now I'm going to tell you about what the 9 points are, and I'm going to use the process of buying my house as an example of how the process works. So the logo for my business is a circle with a 9 in it, and there are 9 points set around the circle, and each point has a meaning. So the first point is ask, and that's right at the very top. Ask, when you ask, it's not necessarily a verbal thing like, oh God, please do this, or oh God, please take away that. It's when you notice contrast. When you notice that you have something that you don't want or you don't have something that you do want. That split second of noticing that initial contrast, that is the ask. Jesus said, ask and it's given. He didn't say, ask and if I'm in a good mood, I'll give it to you. Or ask and if you've behaved perfectly, I'll give it to you. He said, ask and it's given. Whatever you ask in my name will be given. So if it's given, why don't we see it? That leads me to the next point. The second point is thoughts. And the third point is feelings, and they go together because thoughts lead to feelings, feelings lead to actions, actions lead to results. So what you're thinking about causes you to act in a certain way. Based on the actions you take, you either receive or don't receive what it is, the change that you want. So I wanted a house. I was separated, going through a divorce, and I was renting a house. It was a tiny little house. I was living there. My daughter was living there. My son, we had a dog and 3 cats. And this was like a 900 square foot house. So I was feeling very frustrated because it was such a small space for so many of us. So I'm like, oh, I wish I could find a house to buy. I want to buy a house. I want to buy a house. And while I was looking, I was feeling very stressed about the financial situation. So I was thinking about the money. I was thinking about not liking where I was at. So I was thinking, and those thoughts kept me stuck in that feeling of frustration and negativity. So I couldn't find a house that I liked. I looked at houses, but when I looked at houses that I thought were in my price range, I didn't like them. I didn't like them at all. Then I came to a place, you know what? This tiny little house, it's small, but it's nice. I have a roof over our heads. We each have our own space. The house is in good condition. It's in a nice neighborhood. I'm okay with this house while I'm looking. So there I adjusted my thoughts to allow myself to feel better. And that is the fourth point, acknowledge. When you can acknowledge, okay, this is where I'm at. It's not where I want to be, but it's okay for now. This is a jumping off point. Then I can be okay with it and I can love myself rather than being frustrated with myself that I'm not where I want to be. Once you begin to love yourself, you release resistance. And what resistance is, that is that negative, low-level vibrational emotions. The feeling of frustration, the feeling of anger, the feeling of helplessness, those are lower level vibrations and they are resistance. When you're experiencing those emotions, you're actually resisting what it is that you're wanting. So I was resisting finding a house that I liked until I decided that where I was okay. So when you release that resistance, then you begin to come into alignment with yourself, with your desire, with your creator, if you believe in such a thing. And once you get into that alignment, and that's a process, it's not usually instantaneous, but when you get into that alignment, when you reach that place of alignment, that's when manifestation happens. So I came to a place of alignment, and one day my parents were out, and they were just driving around, and they saw a house that was for sale and had one of those little paper boxes where you could pick out a flyer on the for sale sign. So they stopped and they were reading the paper, and someone else pulled up next to them and said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And it turned out it was a friend of my parents who was a lawyer, and he does estate work. So they told him that I was looking for a house, and he said, "I have a client right now that I'm working with. Their father passed away. They want to sell the house. It's not even on the market yet." And I was hooked up with the house. The day that I came to look at the house, I was not yet married to Tom, but he came with me. We were on a friendship basis at that time. He came with me and we pulled up in front of the house, and I loved the outside of it. It's a 1.5-story brick Cape Cod, and I just think it's a very pretty house from the outside. So we backed into the driveway, and we came in the back door when the lawyer got there. I walked into the kitchen. I don't really worry much about kitchens because I don't like to cook. I don't spend a lot of time in a kitchen. So I walked through the kitchen, and as I began to enter the dining room, I saw a double wide archway between the dining room and the living room. I was like, "Oh, I love archways." As I walked further through the dining room into the living room, I saw leaded beveled glass around the front door. And I couldn't see it from the outside because the previous owner had put plexiglass over it and it had yellowed. You couldn't see what it was from the outside. And I said, "Oh, I am in love." And I walked into the room and I looked to the left, and there's a big brick fireplace with a big wide mantle. And there's two stained glass windows flanking the fireplace. And I said, "Oh, baby, I want this house." And I did what I had to do to get it. This was also before I got laid off from the pharmaceuticals. So I was working full time at my pharmaceutical job, and I was working part time at a jewelry store, because when my first husband and I split up, I was left paying the mortgage on the house and rent on an apartment. So I did whatever I had to do to get the mortgage. I got the mortgage and I bought the house. Now, that is point eight, and that's receive. Then comes point nine, where you evaluate what you've received. And from that evaluation, you come to a realization of other preferences. Like, I love my house. And when I bought it, I didn't think about the size of the yard. I saw in the yard where I thought it went to. I didn't look to see in any paperwork how big the yard was. Turns out the yard is just big enough to cover that, to fit the house and the garage. It's got a detached 2-car garage. So the property goes 4 feet behind the garage, behind the house, to the one side of the house, it's the width of the driveway, to the other side of the house, it's 4 feet to the other side of the house, and in the front, it's about 8 feet from the front porch to the street. So, next time I buy a house, if I ever do get another house, I'm going to make sure I know what size yard it is, and I want one with a yard. Another thing that I didn't really think about was that there's only one bathroom, and it's a tiny bathroom. In 1925, when this house was built, they didn't have big fancy bathrooms. They were just happy to have indoor plumbing. So I'm gonna make sure next house that it's gonna have a big bathroom, and not huge necessarily, but it's gonna have a reasonably sized bathroom and at least one powder room. Another thing, is that when I bought the house, it didn't have air conditioning in it. It did have central heat, but it did not have central air. That wasn't a real big problem, though, because my at the time friend, that's what he does for a living. So I bought the house and we worked together to put the air through it, and he got everything at cost or less. We worked together, and now in the summertime we have a nice cool house. Now, does that make me greedy? Because I found a house that I loved, and then after I'm living here, now I'm finding things that I would like to be different. Does that make me greedy? Does that make me insatiable? No. It makes me a living, growing, expanding being. And that's what happens with everything that you get. You decide what you want, you come into alignment, you receive it, then you evaluate it, and from there, a new desire is born. When we stop growing, we start dying. When we evaluate, it's a growth period, and we're growing again. Well, there you have it. Now you know a little bit about me and about my coaching business. I hope you have a good takeaway from the 9 points that you can use in your own life. And from here on out, I'd really like this to be an interactive podcast. If you download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm, you can leave me a voice message. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them there and I will respond on future episodes. You can also go to my Facebook page and leave questions or comments there. My Facebook page is the 9-point, that's POINT, coaching. So 9-point coaching on Facebook. And I think once a week or once a month or some regular time basis like that, I'd really like to do a live call-in show where I can help one of you work through a situation in your own life using the 9-point process. If you'd like to participate in that, please leave me a message on the voice message or on my Facebook page. And thank you for listening today. Namaste. The divine within me sees and loves the divine within you.